Praise the Lord for that. And man, the singing, the piano playing, all by the teenagers, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bible this morning, let's open to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And while you're turning there, let me just make mention, also don't forget about the ladies' luncheon that will be May the 11th. And so ladies, don't forget about that. If you are interested in registering for it, I believe Addie will be in the foyer if you'd like to register this morning, or you can obviously go online and register as well, but there will be somebody in the foyer right after the service to register any ladies that are interested in doing that, right? And then also, let me just say thank you for all the cards and things like that. If you weren't here Wednesday night, you missed a surprise because I didn't even know it was going to happen either, right? But somebody found out that my birthday was this past week, and at the end of the service, getting ready to dismiss everybody, and I was a little bit alarmed because one of our safety guys is in the back waving his hands at me. And when a safety guy is waving their hands at you, you don't just think good things. And I was a little bit concerned, and I said, yes, brother. He said, we just want everybody to know there's root beer floats for pastor's birthday for everybody in the fellowship hall. I said, praise God. Amen. That's a great thing for a safety guy to say, right? And so that was a blessing. Appreciate that. And I know there are many cards and things, and thank you so much for all those. Somebody, I've had several people ask me this morning, do you feel any older? Nope. I don't know how old I'm supposed to feel, but I feel like what I was yesterday. I don't feel any older than last week, you know, so I don't know. But when do you start feeling older? That's somebody said, oh, you'll know. All right, well, I'm glad I'm not there yet. Amen. That's great. Well, let's take our Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verses 1 through 7, we were looking at four examples that Timothy, Paul gave to Timothy to try to encourage him in the faith, to continue to be faithful. We're going to be reading in verse number 8 to verse number 13 this morning, and 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you for the beautiful singing this morning, just songs that speak of Jesus and what you've done for us. And thank you for the young people and their song this morning, the message through there. Lord, we thank you that our Redeemer is faithful. And Lord, thank you for your word. And we ask that you just bless now this morning. Use it to speak to hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, no doubt, as we've been looking at this, Timothy may have been thinking about some of the things that Paul has told him as we've looked in these first seven verses here. Paul speaks about being strong for the life that God had planned for him. He talks about being a good soldier and listening to our commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talks about being a disciplined athlete and recognizing, you know, the world has many things to offer, but there are some things that we just don't need as Christians. And we need to keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ and keep our eyes upon the finish line and keep running that race that he has for us. And then that diligent farmer that goes out faithfully even before there's ever a crop. He's preparing the field and getting things ready and then planting the seed and then the hard work during the harvest time and things. And so no doubt, maybe Timothy was thinking, you know what, after reading these things that Paul has said, and, you know, maybe like some of us thinking about these things and be like, you know, I just don't know if I can do that. That seems kind of hard to do. you know, Paul, you're telling me that there's going to be difficulties and there's going to be persecutions and stuff. And already at the end of chapter 1, he speaks about those that had left him, those that were trying to cause problems. In verse number 15, he says, Asia is turned away from me, of whom Phygellus and Hermogenes, these men that led people to turn away from the gospel, to turn away from Paul. And Timothy may be thinking, you know, man, that seems kind of hard to go through. I mean, you've spent your life, you know, trying to serve the Lord, and then these men try to criticize you, and they try to ridicule, and even later on in chapter 2, we're going to see others that Paul mentions who have forsaken. Timothy may have just been thinking, you know, I just don't know if I can do that. It may be hard to go through some of those things. And no doubt, as a Christian, if you've been saved for any length of time, no doubt there's been some hard things. No doubt maybe you've had to go through. There's been some difficult things that you've gone through in your life. And sometimes you might think, you know, it might just be easier just not to do those things. It might be easier just not to serve the Lord. You know, some of these things can take us out of our comfort zones. You know, I mean, God, you're asking me to do what? You're wanting me to do this? That's just not me, God. I just don't think I can do that. And before you just, you know, before you say, well, you know, I'm the only one that's ever thought that. No, friend, you're not. Believe me, I have thought that many, many times. When God began working in my heart to preach, I thought God made a mistake. God, I didn't like to speak in front of people. I didn't like to talk in front of people. But God has been faithful through it all, as the young people just sang. Some things that God may have us do may take us out of our comfort zone. And some had already forsaken Paul. Some were criticizing and persecuting Paul. And so what Paul says next to Timothy, after he's just encouraged him and challenged him to do these different things, no doubt thinking, you know, this may be a little bit harder than what I thought. You know, serving God in the middle of a wicked world is a lot more difficult than what I thought it would be. People are going to forsake you. Friends are not going to be your friends anymore. There might be issues that come up. So what do we do when these things happen? And this is this next passage that Paul is writing to Timothy. What does Paul say next? And he says the one thing that we should never forget. No matter what difficulty you're going through, no matter what trial, if people are forsaking you, friends or difficulties are happening, I hope that you'll remember this one thing that Paul tells Timothy to remember. He says in verse number 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. He says, Timothy, I want you to remember one thing. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. Remember Jesus as you're going through life. Remember what Jesus Christ has done for you. And really, basically what Paul does here, he compresses the whole story of salvation and summarizes it in this one verse, right? I mean, think about it. He says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So he basically takes the whole gospel message and puts it into one verse. He says, remember Jesus Christ, right? Again, Jesus Christ did not begin at Bethlehem. He is from everlasting. He came to this earth to be born in that manger. He says, remember, he's of the seed of David. Remember how God orchestrated the whole thing that Jesus Christ would be born of the seed of David so that he could be in the lineage to be the king that we would need him to be. And that he lived that perfect, sinless life. And he went to the cross and he died on the cross and he was buried for our sins. Not just buried, but 3 days later, he rose again. He says, I want you to remember what Jesus Christ has done. If you hold your place here in Romans chapter 1, he kind of says the same thing again. In Romans chapter 1 and verse number 3 and 4, he says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So again, he's condensing the whole plan of salvation, all that Jesus did, and he's saying, this is who he is, and this is what he did. And remember, he did this for you. Timothy, remember what Jesus did, and don't ever forget, Timothy, that Jesus did this for you. And so when you're going through trials and when you're going through difficulties and man, when the work seems hard and it doesn't seem like you're seeing the fruit that you'd like to see, Timothy, remember Jesus. Remember what Jesus did for you. And man, when you're having to lose some friends because you're trying to be obedient to God and you're trying to follow what God wants, and there's some friends that say, hey, we don't want to be your friends anymore because all you're doing is talking about Jesus. All you do is talk about church. All you do is talk about the Bible. And we don't want to be your friends anymore. He says, Timothy, remember Jesus. Because so many times if we start thinking about all these other different things, all the problems and the difficulties and things that we go through, it gets very discouraging for us. But Paul says, remember Jesus. Notice what he says that we should remember about Jesus. Again, he's giving the gospel here. He's summarizing the whole plan of salvation. Remember that Jesus became a man to die. Jesus became a man in order to die. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Remember, Jesus Christ left the splendor and glory of heaven. Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe. John chapter 1 and verse number 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made. Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, the one that spoke the words and light came into being, the one that spoke the words and all the animals came into being. Jesus Christ left the splendor and glory of heaven to be born in human form. Remember, Jesus became a man. He took on flesh. He humbled himself to human authority. Think about that, to Joseph and Mary, even though they were not his earthly parents. We understand that there was the virgin birth. Joseph was not his earthly father, and Mary was simply the mother that God was going to use while he was here on this earth. But Jesus was already pre-existent. He says, remember that Jesus even humbled himself to human authority. Jesus experienced hunger. He experienced thirst. He experienced weariness. You understand that Jesus became flesh. He took on all of these things for you and for me. He was robed in flesh, betrayed. You think you're the only one that's ever felt betrayed? Jesus felt betrayed. On more than one occasion, Judas. Yeah, oh yeah, Judas. Judas betrayed him. Oh no, he was betrayed many, many times. The betrayal that he went through, those that mocked him, those that accused him of being born out of fornication, being born out of wedlock, because they understood Joseph wasn't his father, and that Joseph and Mary weren't married at the time. Like, hey, you're born out of fornication. The mocking that he went through, the laughing. Can you imagine laughing at the creator of the universe? Laughing at God. Oh, I would never do that. Let's not be too sure. He endured mocking. He endured laughing. They laughed at him. They spit upon him. They beat him. Then he gave his life on the cross. Why? For our sins. He says, Timothy, hey, you might be going through some difficult things, but remember what Jesus went through for you. Remember what Jesus was willing to endure so that you could be saved. And yes, again, remember, Paul is sitting in a Roman prison. He's sitting in prison saying, hey, it'll be okay. It's worth it. Can you imagine sitting in prison saying it's worth it? Well, it is when we remember Jesus. It is when we remember what Jesus went through. He died on the cross for our sins. Remember Jesus, Paul says to Timothy. But not that he just became a man to die, but remember, number two, that Jesus rose from the grave. He rose from the grave 3 days later, just as he said. I love that passage in the Gospels that as the angel is there and the women come to the tomb, and they're looking for the body, and the angel says, "He is not here, for he is risen as he said." Jesus told them, "I'm going to die, but in 3 days I'm going to rise again. I'm going to give my life, but I will take it again. I'm going to rise again." Right? We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Easter. You know what it all has to do with? Not us. It has to do with Jesus. It has to do with what Jesus did for us on the cross. And then after he died for our sins and he took our sins upon himself, 3 days later he rose again. He defeated the grave so that we could have life. Do you understand, friend? There are two places that a person will go when they die. There's only one of two places that a person will go. They will go to hell or they will go to heaven. You say, "Well, I just don't believe that." Well, friend, I'm just telling you what God says. I'm just telling you what God says, right? If you want to call God a liar, feel free to do that, but I'm not going to do that. God says there's only two places that a person can go when they die. Either they will spend eternity in the lake of fire, they're going to go to hell, or they'll be in heaven. And the only way that a person can be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ is by believing and accepting what Jesus Christ did for him. Believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He took my sin and your sin upon himself. And then he died and was buried. He rose again 3 days later to give life. Jesus Christ is the only one who has defeated death. And therefore, he now lives so that we can have life. Wouldn't you like to have life to know that no matter when your physical body dies, you're going to be at the Lord Jesus Christ for all of eternity? That's what he offers. That's what Jesus or Paul is telling Timothy here. Hey, don't forget what Jesus did for you. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried, but he rose again from the grave. Now watch this. Not only does he say, "Remember Jesus became a man to die." Not only does he say, "Remember Jesus rose from the grave," but he says, "Remember the word of God is powerful." Look what he says in verse number 9. He says, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer." What's he talking about? His preaching of the gospel. His preaching of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His preaching that there's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. His preaching that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and that Jesus Christ died on the cross as the perfect sacrifice. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave. And Jesus Christ is the only one who offers life. And Paul says, that message, the gospel message, is why I'm in prison today. Paul says, that's why I'm in bonds. He says, wherein I suffer trouble. He says, Timothy, don't think you're the only one that's ever suffered trouble. I'm suffering trouble now as an evildoer, even unto bonds. He says, I'm in prison, I'm in chains because of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Friend, do you understand that the world does not want the gospel message? The world doesn't. Can I even take it a step further? Religion does not want the gospel message. Not only does the world not want it, but religion doesn't want it. You say, well, how could religion not want the gospel message of Jesus Christ? Because the world says, hey, you just live however you want. It doesn't really matter. You just enjoy life and, hey, you know, maybe one day your good's going to outweigh your bad and you just be a good person and you'll be able to make it to heaven somehow. Well, that's not the gospel message. And religion doesn't want the gospel message either. Because religion says, hey, if you just come to church and you just do some rituals and say some prayers and give and keep a few commandments and if you do some of these things, hey, you're going to be able to go to heaven too. Wait a minute, that's not the gospel message. Because if that was the message that Paul was preaching, if Paul was saying, hey, be religious and keep the rituals and just be a good person, Paul wouldn't have been in jail. He wouldn't have been in jail. He was in jail because he was preaching the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was in jail because he was saying, hey, there is only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ and him alone. It's not through the church. It's not through religion. It's not through baptism. It's not through rituals. It's not through the Ten Commandments. It is only through Jesus Christ. Paul says, that's why I'm in jail. That's why I'm suffering right now. That's why these people have forsaken me. That's why they're criticizing the gospel. You understand? Religion and the world just say, hey, you just figure it out yourself. You do the way you want it to be done, and you'll be okay. But God says, friend, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And now watch what he says at the end of verse number 9. But the word of God is not bound. Paul said, I'm bound. I'm in prison for the gospel's sake. I'm in prison because I've preached the gospel. But he says, let me tell you something. The word of God is not bound. Amen? The word of God is not bound. You know what Paul is saying? Even in prison, guess what he was still doing? Preaching the gospel. He said, look, they can keep me in prison. That's fine. But I'm still going to preach the gospel. In fact, the Bible tells us very clearly that because of Paul, the many times he was in prison, many of the Roman guards that were guarding him believed. In fact, there were some even in Caesar's household. Now, I mean, think about that. That's kind of hard to believe, right? That those even in Caesar's household, Caesar, of course, was the one that was going to later say that it was Christians that burned down Rome and all this kind of thing. But he's saying, hey, even there are some in Caesar's own household who have accepted Christ. How did they do that? Because the gospel is not bound. The gospel, when given, when you tell somebody about Jesus Christ and they accept Christ, the gospel is able to spread where places you might not ever think possible. I mean, think about it. You have a guy that comes up to Jerusalem from Ethiopia. He comes up looking for something, maybe religion, maybe something. He's not sure what it is, but he comes to the holy city, the religious city of the world at this time, the holy city of God. Comes to Jerusalem. What does he find? Nothing. He doesn't find anything. And so he starts heading back to Ethiopia. He's going back to Ethiopia. He's traveled all the way up there to Jerusalem. He hasn't found anything. He's going all the way back to Ethiopia. And God says, hey, wait a second, Philip. There's a man that's searching for the gospel. He's searching for truth. I want you to go down into Gaza. I want you to go down into that area and that desert place. And I want you to tell him about Jesus Christ. And Philip obeys. And he goes down into the desert place. And he finds this Ethiopian man. And he starts sharing Jesus with him. And guess what happens? He gets saved. Why? Because the gospel's not bound. The gospel isn't bound to a language. It's not bound to a people group. It's not bound to anything. The gospel has free course. As we give the gospel out, God is going to use it. And Paul says, hey, Timothy, I may be bound and I may be in prison, but the gospel is still free. You cannot bind the gospel. Just keep giving it out, Timothy. Just keep giving the gospel no matter where you are. Even if you're in prison, guess what you ought to do? Keep giving the gospel. Hey, if you're at work, you know what you ought to do? Give the gospel. Hey, if you're in your neighborhood, you know what you ought to do? Give the gospel. Hey, when you're around family members that you know aren't saved, you know what you ought to do? Give the gospel. Why? It's not bound. It's for anyone who's willing to accept it. And so Paul says, hey, I may be bound for preaching the gospel. I suffer trouble, but the word of God is not bound. Think about what the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing of sunder and soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God says the word of God is powerful. It's not bound. In Romans chapter 1 verse 16, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Paul says, hey, Timothy, I know why I'm in prison. I'm in prison because I preach the gospel. But just because I'm in prison for preaching the gospel doesn't mean I'm going to stop. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. And Timothy, you may go through trials and you may go through difficulties for preaching the gospel, but don't stop. The word of God is not bound. You keep preaching. You keep telling them, remember, the word of God is powerful. And then I want you to notice what he says here in these next few verses. He says, I want you to remember Jesus. He became a man to die. Remember Jesus. He rose from the grave. Remember the word of God is powerful. Give it out. Share it. But remember what we have ahead of us. Remember what we have ahead of us. Look at what he says in verse number 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. And if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He says, I want you to remember what we have ahead of us. Though it may be difficult at times, you know what Paul says? Notice that third word of verse number 10, endure. He says, therefore I endure. Because I remember what Jesus Christ did for me. Because I remember what the gospel is. It's not bound, it's powerful. I endure. I keep going. I'm going to continue. I'm going to keep going. And I'm also going to continue. I'm going to endure because of what is ahead. Paul was suffering because of preaching the gospel, but he says, I endure all things. I'm going to endure these things. I'm going to keep going. Even if it means my life is going to end. And we know later on in chapter 4, we really believe that Paul understood that he was about to die. He said, I know my departure is at hand. I don't know if he knew if it was the next day or the next week, but Paul knew he was about to die for preaching the gospel. And even though he knew he was going to die, what does he say? I endure. Even though he knew he was about to be put to death, he said, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. I'm going to keep telling others about Jesus Christ. And notice why. He says, endure for those who are saved and those who have not yet heard. Friend, we have to keep going. We have to endure because there are those who have never accepted Jesus Christ. There are those who need to hear the gospel message. Do we really believe the word of God when he says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world? Do we really believe that? I'm afraid we don't. You say, well, we believe the Bible and we believe that verse, for God so loved the world. Then why aren't we doing more to get the gospel to the world? If we really believed, for God so loved the world, wouldn't we want to share the gospel to our coworkers? Wouldn't we want to share the gospel to our family members? Wouldn't we want to share the gospel to those in the area that we live? If we really believe, for God so loved the world, is it maybe that we're glad he loved us, but we're not really concerned whether he loves anybody else or not? We're glad we're saved, but yeah, whether anybody else gets saved or not, I don't know. Paul says, I'm going to endure. I'm going to endure because there are still people that need to be saved. And not only there are still people that need to be saved, there are other Christians that I need to endure for. There are other believers I need to endure for. There are other people that I need to keep going for. Just like Paul is writing to Timothy and encouraging Timothy, hey, there are other believers that we need to endure and we need to keep moving forward for, because as you've just saw, there was, what, about 7, 8 young teenagers up here this morning. Teenagers that were singing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I ask you, who's going to endure for them? Who's going to endure for them? Who's going to keep going to be the right example to them? Right now, we have across the hall there's the first through fourth graders. Who's going to endure for them? Who's going to endure for them? What about those that are in the nursery? Those little babies that are born into this world and they're growing. Who's going to endure for them? You see, Paul says, I endure, even though it's difficult, even though, yes, sometimes it's hard, and even though, yes, maybe it might cost friendships. Hey, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to endure because there are still people that need to be saved, and there are Christians we need to endure for. He says in Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, Paul says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He said, the word of God is powerful. The word of God is what needs to be given out so that other people can know Christ as their Savior. He says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Do you understand what Paul just said here? He said, How can I dare not preach the gospel? How can I dare not preach the gospel? May I say that ought to be a question that every Christian ought to ask themselves. How can I dare not give the gospel out? When I think of what Jesus did for me, that he became a man to die on the cross and he was buried and rose again so that I could have life. And it was God's word that changed my life. It brought salvation. Faith was understood by the word of God. Now I know I'm saved. Now I know I have a home in heaven. How dare I not share that with somebody else? He said, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." How can we keep our mouth closed when we know there are people that are dying without Jesus Christ? You say, "Well, you know, I just don't know what they're gonna. I don't know what they're gonna think." Friend, does it matter what they think? Does it matter what they think? Well, they might laugh at me. Well, they laughed at Jesus. Well, they might mock me. They mocked Jesus. Well, they might do some horrible thing to me. They did some pretty horrible things to Jesus. And yet he still went through it so that you and I could be saved. He says, "Remember Jesus. Endure, Timothy, because there are those that still need to be saved and they have not yet heard." Notice in verse number 11, "Endure, for we shall live with him." Think about what he says in verse number 11. "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." Now, this is kind of hard to understand, right? We don't think like this, okay? And so I get it. It's hard to understand, right? But if you die for Christ, what's the big deal? Right? You say, "What do you mean, what's the big deal?" If you die for Christ, if you die for the Lord Jesus Christ, where are you going to be? Well, that's a pretty bad place to be, isn't it? You're going to be in heaven? So what's the big deal? What's the big deal? That's why Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 21, he says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." The old preacher, I don't remember who it was, there was an old preacher walking down, he was walking down the streets of Chicago, and as he was walking by an alley, a guy jumped out with a gun, pulled a gun on him, and said, "Hey, give me all your money or I'm going to shoot you." And the preacher turned around and he says, "Are you threatening me with heaven?" What's the big deal? I mean, think about it. Again, look, I understand, "Well, you know, I'll miss my family." You're not even going to know that you're going to be in heaven. Now, your family might miss you, right? But you're going to be in heaven. And this is what Paul is saying. What if I don't preach the gospel, then what really does it mean to me? That's why Paul is willing to say, "I know my departure's at hand. What's the big deal?" You see, we don't think like that because the world has changed our thinking to think that everything that is of value and that is of importance is here. And you're going to take how much with you? Nothing. You're not going to take anything with you. But yet the world has got us to think that living for Christ, oh man, that's horrible. Dying for Christ, oh man, that's horrible. Wait, Paul says, what's the big deal? If you really believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, you really believe that there's only one of two places that a person can go when they die, you really believe that if you're saved, you're going to go to heaven, what's the big deal? Is it maybe that we care more about the things of the earth than we do the things of God? This is what he says. Look at verse number 11. It's a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. He said, look, if you have died with Christ, in other words, you've accepted Christ as your Savior, right? I mean, he died for you on the cross. And when you accepted him, you died with him. All of your sins are carried over on the cross of Jesus Christ. He's paid for all of them. So if you're dead with him, don't you understand you're going to live with him? What is there to fear? You don't have to be afraid of death. Now look, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying go out and walk across the street and see if a car hits you. That's not what I'm saying, right? But I'm saying, why are we so afraid of living for Jesus and suffering persecution or maybe even death? Why are we so afraid of that? If we truly believe that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If we truly believe to live is Christ and to die is gain, what do we have to be afraid of? And this is what Paul is saying, endure, for we shall live with him. Jesus says in Mark 8:35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. He said, you can either waste your life here on the earth and have nothing, or you can use your life for me. You can use your life for Jesus Christ. You can use your life for the gospel. And even if that means dying for it, he says, guess what? You're going to have far more reward in heaven than you ever thought possible here on the earth. Jesus said, what's there to be afraid of? Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Hey, can I tell you what we really need in our churches in America? We need Christians to start living for Jesus. That's what we need. We need Christians to say, yes, I truly believe what God says is right, and I'm going to live for him no matter what it costs. Even if it costs some friendships, even if it costs some mockery and some laughing and things like that, whatever it costs, even if it means going to jail, even if it means death, are we willing to pay that price to endure and to keep serving the Lord? He says, endure, for we shall live with him. Notice in verse number 12, at the beginning, he says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Think about that. He says, we should endure because we shall reign with him. In Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, he says, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. He said, one day, hey, look, he said, not only do you have nothing to fear in death because you're going to be with me, but he says, one day, as we have served the Lord, we get to reign with him on the earth. We're gonna reign with Jesus Christ. That doesn't sound too bad, right? That doesn't sound bad. I mean, he says you're gonna be with me for all of eternity. When I set up my kingdom on the earth, you're gonna reign with me on the earth. What's so bad about that? Why are we so concerned about these temporal things that really make no difference for eternity? When yet Jesus says, hey, if you'll endure, don't worry, you're going to live with me. If you'll endure, don't worry, hey, you're going to reign with me on the earth. But watch what he says at the end of verse number 12. He says, if we deny him, he also will deny us. Now, please don't misunderstand this verse. There's many that will try to say, well, that means you can lose your salvation. No, that's not what he's saying at all. You cannot lose your salvation, right? We understand the Bible tells us that when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. So what does he mean when he says that he will deny us? Well, think about this. What has he just been talking about? If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. There's coming a day, the Bible tells us, that we will all, every Christian, is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every Christian. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, one day we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And at the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible tells us that that is the day that we will be rewarded for how we have lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, at that time, it doesn't mean that we all will receive rewards, but there is also the loss of rewards. There's a loss of rewards. And he says, if we're not going to be willing to live for Jesus Christ here on this earth, if we're going to, in how we live, deny him and say, hey, aren't you a Christian, but you don't really, you're not really doing the work of a Christian. Aren't you supposed to be, say, well, I'm just going to live for myself. Well, he says, if you want to live for yourself, that's fine. But he said, when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, you will also be judged for the bad that we've done. In fact, he says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 28, he says, and now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Let me ask you a question, friend. Why would a Christian be ashamed at the coming of Jesus Christ? I mean, if we're saved and we know we're going to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have anything to fear there. So why would he say, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye shall not be ashamed? Why would a Christian be ashamed? Because they're not living for Jesus. Why would a Christian be ashamed? And please understand, friend, when I say a Christian, I'm not talking about somebody that was just, they've just adopted the word Christian into their lifestyle, or, my parents said I'm a Christian, so I'm a Christian. When I say a Christian, I'm talking about somebody who has truly put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Somebody who has understood that they are a sinner and that they cannot save themselves. And if they died, they were going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. But as they heard the word of God preached and someone told them about Jesus Christ, they recognized that Jesus was the only one that can save them from their sin, and they turned from their sin and put their faith and trust in Jesus. And he gave them that gift of eternal life. That's the person I'm talking about when I say a Christian. I'm not talking about just in name. I'm talking about someone who truly has put their faith and trust in Christ. You say, well, if somebody's truly saved, aren't they all going to live for Jesus? Well, if that's true, why is Paul telling Timothy to endure? Was Timothy saved? Absolutely. He was Paul's son in the faith. But you see, we have to understand that sometimes there are difficult things that we go through, and the devil and the world wants to get us discouraged and wants to say, hey, you just need to quit. Don't serve God. Don't be faithful to church. Don't read your Bible. Don't pray. Don't tell anybody else about Jesus. And what happens? There are many Christians that listen to the lie of the world and of the devil. And they stop. Have they lost their salvation? No, friend, they haven't lost their salvation. Once you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. But if Jesus Christ were returned today, would they be ashamed? Because they have not lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. They've not been living their life the way that he wants them to live it. They have not endured the way that Jesus Christ has said to endure. And this is why he says, hey, if you're not going to live for him, don't expect him to reward you or anything when you get to heaven. Don't expect any rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Hey, you're going to live like you don't know him? Guess what? When you get to heaven, you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't expect any reward. Oh, you may be saved, and there's no doubt if you're saved, you're going to be in heaven. You can't lose it. But don't expect him to be excited about how you've lived. No. Because he wants you to live for him, not for self. And then he says in verse number 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Isn't that the song the young people just sang, the love of my Redeemer? The love of my Redeemer that the young people sang. Think about, he is faithful, the song spoke about. He's faithful. This is what he's saying here. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. What does he mean here, right? He is faithful even when we fail. He is faithful even when we are faithless. I wish I could say that from the time that I accepted Jesus Christ, that I have never wavered in living for Jesus. I wish I could say that from the time I accepted Jesus Christ, that I have always done exactly what Jesus wanted me to do. I wish I could say that. But I cannot. and neither can you. There are many times when we fail. And what happens when we fail? Our faith begins to shake a little bit. And I wish I wouldn't have done that. Why would I have done that? If I really was a Christian, would I have done that? If I really loved God, I wouldn't have done that. And doubt and fear begins to creep into our life. And let's face it, we've all faced that time when we just don't feel like we're part of God's family. We've all faced it when we don't feel like we're saved because we've blown it. But notice what he says. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Friend, I'm so thankful that even though many times I fail and I fail and I fail, my salvation is not based upon my failures or my success. My salvation is based upon Jesus Christ and him alone. And he cannot deny himself. Because the Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 3 that the Bible says that his righteousness is given. And when someone accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, God gives his own righteousness. And so now when God looks at me, they don't see me as a wicked sinner. You know what they see? They see the righteousness of God. He cannot deny himself. And that's why he says he is faithful. Can I tell you something? You may have friends that may abandon you. You say, well, that hurts. Yep, that's true. But can I tell you someone who will never abandon you? His name is Jesus. No matter what you go through, and even if you fail him, even if you mess up and you fall, or even if your faith is shaken, he said, let me tell you something. God is faithful. He's faithful. I love this verse in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 20 says, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Friend, there are times when our heart, we just don't feel like we're saved. There's times in our heart, we just feel like we have failed. And because the way we see things, I have failed God, and therefore God should disown me. Well, maybe he should, but he won't. Maybe he should disown us because that's how we would treat somebody else. Oh, this person does something against me. Well, I'm not their friend anymore. They did this to me. Well, I'm not gonna have them over anymore. You see, that's how we treat others, but God is faithful. And that's why he says there in 1 John chapter 5, he that hath the Son hath life. He says, if you have Jesus Christ, you have life. And Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's faithful. And even though sometimes we don't feel worthy to be saved, friend, your salvation is not based upon your worthiness or not, because none of us are worthy. Our salvation is based upon his faithfulness. He is faithful. And so what does he say? Timothy, endure. Keep going, because he is faithful. Faithful, even though many times we fail him. Was Paul perfect? No. Was Timothy perfect? No. Are you perfect? No. Am I perfect? No. Is he perfect? Yes. And he is faithful. And so Paul says, Timothy, yes, I know sometimes it might be hard to be that good soldier, and it might be hard to be that disciplined athlete, and it might be hard to be that diligent farmer. But he says, Timothy, let me encourage you here. Remember Jesus. Remember what Jesus did for you and endure. Keep going. Paul says, Timothy, my life's about over. I'm passing this on to you now, Timothy. You've got to take up the mantle. You've got to keep going. Even though friends are going to forsake you, and even though people are going to criticize you, you keep going. Don't ever forget what Jesus did for you. Father, I pray you'd help us this morning, Lord, to truly grasp and understand what you did for us. Lord, how you sent your Son to this earth to be born and to bleed and die on a rugged cross, to be buried in that tomb, but to rise again 3 days later. Lord, it was all for us. And Lord, would you help us to remember, like Paul is encouraging Timothy, to be that good soldier. to be that disciplined athlete, that diligent farmer. And yes, sometimes it's hard, and sometimes friends forsake us, and sometimes things don't go the way we want them to go. But Lord, help us to remember what Jesus did. Help us never forget what he did for us. And Paul says, therefore, I endure. I keep going. No matter what it is, I keep going. Lord, would you help us? Maybe we've forgotten what you've done for us. We've forgotten that there are others that need to know about Jesus Christ. Lord, maybe we've just been afraid, forgetting that we're going to live with you. We've been more concerned about the things of this world than we have about eternity, forgetting that heaven is gain. Father, whatever it might be, I pray you'd help us this morning to have a desire to live our life for Jesus Christ, that when he shall appear, we shall not be ashamed at his coming. With her heads bowed and her eyes closed, no one looking about this morning, I wonder if maybe today there's somebody who say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died where I would go. I know you said there's only two places, and heaven and hell, but I'm not sure which one I would go to. I'm afraid that maybe the one I would go to would not be a very nice place. But I would sure like to know how I could go to heaven when I die. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Friend, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out in any way. But I would like to pray for you this morning. And if that's you today, you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. Would you just slip your hand up, put it right back down, and say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I'm saved. I'm not sure if I died today where I would go. Pastor, would you pray for me? Just slip your hand up, put it right back down. Nobody's looking about. Pastor, would you pray for me? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure if I'm saved. And Christian, may I ask you this morning, are we truly living for Jesus Christ, or have we begun to listen to the lie of the world and the devil that, oh, the things of this world are more important than all the things of God? Don't live for Jesus because you're going to miss out. Friend, you're going to miss out if you don't live for Jesus. Maybe God spoke into your heart this morning. In just a moment, the piano's going to play and the altar's going to be open, and you can pray right there in your seat. But if God has spoken to your heart, would you be obedient to whatever he is speaking to you? Maybe you say, man, I'm just really going through a hard time right now. I'm kind of discouraged, and some friends have forsaken me, and maybe family or some issues at the job or whatever. Hey, friend, remember Jesus. Remember what Jesus did for you. Let's all stand to our feet quietly this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. The piano is just going to play softly.